Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron. And our friend, Ellie.
Hello.
We are on the second issue of this Grim Fairy Tales story arc. If you'd like to listen to what we've already put out, you can go back to the previous episode, as well as episode 70 through 75. So we'll go to this next issue, issue number 8, and it's Jack and the Beanstalk. It was written and created by Joe Tyler and Ralph Tedesco, art by Chris Marino, leathers by Art Monkeys, and yeah, missing colors. I guess they
this one didn't have colors.
That might be part of the artwork, I'm assuming. And we start out with this one. We're introduced to Jim and his wife and baby girl, who are not important enough to have names.
Yeah, Jim is stuffing a duffel bag full of cash, like stacks and stacks of cash. It's ridiculous.
He's got fat stacks of cash.
Gee, it's a literal duffel bag of cash. I wonder what he's doing. So, Jim's wife is wondering what he's doing.
She's like, what the hell, dude? You told me you were done dealing.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, this is the last big score, and then we'll finally have enough money to buy our house that we wanted. And she's like, dude, we're getting an apartment. We already agreed.
But they're already in an apartment. It's like, what's wrong with living here in the city? And Jim's like, no, I don't want to live in this shitty-ass city. So he goes out and comes across this guy named Paco.
Debo.
And Paco's just like, hey, I heard this rumor that you were
are you pushing trying, product on my
in my in my territory?
Yeah.
Jim's like, no, of course not. I'm not that stupid. As he
and what
walks
the fuck
away.
Is with the shape of Pablo's head?
Paco.
Sorry, I was thinking Pablo Escobar. Anyway. But like seriously, like this Paco has Jack. This fucking well, and his dome is like massive on the top of his head.
I mean, he's the brains of the operation.
It's from apparently. Lifting so many weights.
All
right. Look at his arms.
Flip the page.
They're big around his gym.
That's fair. So Jim goes to this apartment building and walks in to meet Manny, but Manny's not there. Instead, we see our protagonist.
Our favorite teacher.
Yep. Sela Matters.
So Sela's like, hey, have a seat, big guy. And he's like, what the hell's going on? I need the product. And so she slides over this briefcase, and in the briefcase is...
The book!
Yep, the red book.
He's like, what the hell is this?
And then, like, okay, right here when he opens up the briefcase, though, and he's looking at the book, like, do you get Link vibes with finding a...
the lighting behind him?
Yeah. It's glowing, illuminating his face.
Yeah.
And he's got blonde hair and a green jacket.
Oh, God.
And the brown tunic.
And a brown tunic. Anyways,
so Sela is like, you're putting the life of you and your family at risk, Jim, and you're running out of time, but you can't see it because you're consumed by greed. As she's saying that, the book itself just magically starts to open, and this, I mean, we already know the book has some magic properties because whenever we see the tale, it's always the person reading the tale is put into the story. This is probably the first time we actually see it. Where it's actually magical. Like, it's opening itself up.
Yeah.
And we go to the Jack and the Beanstalk story.
Pulled straight into the story.
And yeah, and Jack looks just like Jim.
Exactly like Jim. And, I mean, even his wife looks very similar to what Jim's wife is. And again, the kid kind of looks very close, too.
Yeah. So... They're like, yeah, we're starving. We need, just gave Sarah the last of the milk. What are we going to do? And he's like, I guess I'll take old Betsy into town and see what I can get for her. I should at least be able to get some food for supper. So he takes
Which does suck. I mean, if you're only getting one meal, what are you going to do tomorrow?
Well, why wouldn't you just kill a cow and cook it?
Well, because a cow can barely, you ain't going to get no meat on that cow.
Dude,
you see
that
cow?
With a little bit of meat that's on that cow, that's still more than one meal.
That's fair.
Little bitch's going to have to learn how to chew some meat.
We come across this what does he call him? Mr. Potts?
Yeah.
Just this farmer, rancher, well, I don't know what you'll call him.
Well, actually, he looks like Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm. A little, like...
ancient old man with super leathery skin.
I think what Rumpelstiltskin was supposed to look like, not what they interpreted.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's missing all of his teeth.
Cracked lips.
Basically, he tells Jack that, you know, you're not going to get much for that cow because it looks... I mean, you look on this one page, and the cow looks completely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to get shit. Thank you. You're not going to get shit out of that cow.
Salivating or like
so he's like sort of
drool. Foaming actually at the mouth.
So he's like, hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you these beans for that cow. And Jack's like,
what are you? What do you think, I'm an idiot? And he's like, well, these are magic beans I got from some gypsy witch.
And he's like, rip, sold.
Like, sure you did.
And then he's like, here, I swear it. Plant them and you'll never have to worry about food again. And Jack's like, you know what? Fuck it. What do I have to lose? I mean, we're going to die anyways, so.
Basically. Again, that cow is... you ain't getting shit for that cow.
Mm. Skin and bones.
So as Jack's running away, which I'd like to point out, as an adult, Jack is an idiot. Like, the old Jack and the Beanstalk stories, Jack was a kid, you know, and it was his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand a kid falling for the magic beans thing.
Mm.
But as an adult, being like, here's some magic beans, buddy. And he's just like,
sure.
Oh, boy.
Very Mickey Mouse of you.
Why, thank you.
Runs back home. Like,
yeah, he runs back.
Show my wife these beans.
Mama, I mean, honey, I got some magic beans for the cow. And then she bitch slaps him out of his hand like, you fucking moron. How are we supposed to feed the kid with these beans?
Yeah, now we're going to starve to death by the time these things grow.
So you know that Jack didn't get any of that night.
Yeah, but as soon as the beans hit the ground, they sprouted up.
Not as soon as. I think it... I think it's a moonlight thing. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Now, what if you ate the beans?
It shows a beam of moonlight.
Well,
the beans.
Like the beans are on the ground. They're not planted. So the moonlight is a direct.
Yeah, I think it needs direct moonlight to actually activate it.
So. Yeah, but that would suck if it didn't. And you eat the beans and you just walk out. And
once your body breaks down the beans, you start sprouting like little bean sprouts, like hair on your arms, and then eventually you end up looking like Groot.
Your family eats you. I'm so hungry.
I am Jack. So the next morning, Jack wakes up and sees a giant beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
And his first thought is, I wonder what's at the top.
He starts climbing the damn thing.
Okay.
No handholds.
Yeah, I'd like to point this out right here that we've got this probably like, you know, what, 1,000-foot tall beanstalk?
If not taller.
If not taller.
Yeah.
You know, it's going into the clouds, so it's as high as an airplane flies, right? This motherfucker climbs up there with no equipment, just his bare hands,
mm-hmm.
and makes it all the way to the top and is not even tired.
Maybe it's Jacked and the beanstalk because of how jacked he is.
My hand can't hit my face hard enough.
But look, Jack describes it in one word right here. Unbelievable.
Because it is unbelievable. Because once he gets to the top...
unbelievable!
Anyway. But yeah, he gets to the top and there's a giant castle up there. And so, naturally, he just goes and breaks into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not even, because he just walks on... He does walk through the door. Technically.
He's kind of like your everyday vermin, you know, like bugs and stuff that are getting into the house. He just crawls through a crack that he can fit through and then makes himself at home.
Mm-hmm. And he finds this room full of gold. Like...
tiny-sized gold.
Well, human-sized gold.
It's human-sized gold. Right. So...
to the giant, like,
well,
the
we
size
don't know
of
the giant.
Yet. Well, we know it's a giant now because he does the fee-fi-fo-fum.
Sorry, spoiler warning.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, that's...
I know.
Everybody knows the story of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Ron's being a poopy head. Earning that explicit tag.
Why did we invite him again? Anyway. So we are... The giant comes. He's...
and does the fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of a lazy bum.
Kind of, yeah. And Jack quickly just grabs a bag of gold that was laying there.
Conveniently.
And, yeah, right?
Dude, it's actually floating in the air.
I'm assuming that it's like bouncing up when the giant's walking.
Mm, yeah, because the gold is doing that as well.
That's what he was referring to.
And the bag.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, that's a hell of a vibration to throw it, you know, a couple inches off the ground.
Giant.
And those things are...
hey, look, the T-Rex only made the water ripple, okay?
But
it didn't make a tough jump.
Those coins are like this big. Like, relative to the giant?
They'd be a lot smaller than that. Because to us, they're this big. Mm-hmm. Like, that size.
Really?
Why am I on this podcast again?
So Jack, you know, hides from the giant and basically rushes out.
Jack grabs the...
Yeah, he grabs the gold.
Grabs the gold and then rushes Jack's out. Off. Like, Jack's out of there.
Welcome to the 40s, kiddo.
He gets back, he climbs back down the beanstalk and throws the gold in front of his wife and is like, bam, bitch.
And she's like, we could live off of this for like a year, perhaps longer. And Jack's like, there's plenty more. And she's like, more? And he's like, yeah, an entire room full.
But there's one small problem. I mean, it's a big problem, but small problem.
Jack's a kleptomaniac?
Well, that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just constantly goes back up. And is come back down like it.
But see, here's the thing. He takes the golden goose that lays, or the goose that lays the golden eggs, right? Mm-hmm. They literally have an infinite supply of gold by that time.
But the problem is with that, it's you're subject to when the goose lays the egg. But still, it's not like he's laying the egg, or that goose is laying the egg all the time.
But the egg is also the size of a human's head.
True.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, you'd be able to sell that for enough to last you a year. Because that's more than was in the bag.
Can't wait till we get to the golden goose story. There actually is one in around somewhere in the 40s, I think. Oof. That's interesting.
But while they've got this goose sitting here, you see behind him, and he's got these literal piles of gold sitting behind him. Mm-hmm. They have enough gold to last them for more than their lifetime.
They probably have enough for their grandkids. Yeah. Like, they are well-to-do, but Jack wants more.
And Jack's like, no, I gotta go up there and get, you know, more stuff.
Yeah, and his wife's begging him
to
stop.
And she's like, dude, just come back down here, you fucktard.
Yeah.
And he's like, money, 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 money.
Like, I'm just going to take just a little bit more. It's fine. This is the last time, I promise. You said that the last three times.
Yeah. And so he goes up there, and it literally is the last time because the only thing that's left is, like, the fucking...
Well, see, that's what I don't get, because he even says previously, when she's saying, we don't need to go because there's enough for five lifetimes, but there's so much more. I can't stop thinking about it. And...
Oh, maybe he had a crush on the harp then.
I see what you mean by kleptomaniac. It's like he just can't help but, like, I have to get more.
Yeah. Everybody has that in them. Not the kleptomaniac thing, but always wanting to... You get away with one thing, you keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I don't know if everybody's that way, but...
Like speeding. He's just like, yeah, I'll go a few miles over the limit, and then like, eh, I'm not really getting caught this time.
Speeding's not illegal.
Yeah, it is.
Until you get caught.
Anywho's. So Jack gets up to the room.
He grabs the harp and then
he grabs the harp, which I guess he didn't realize it was a singing harp. The harp itself has a woman's, not silhouette, but like a
shape.
It looks like a golden woman.
Okay, and Jack grabs a hold of her, and yeah, he grabs a hold of a titty, and her eyes pop open, and then she starts screaming, "Help! Rape! Or no, thief!" So then you got the big salivating giant like, I'm gonna fuck you up, you little rat thief son of a bitch.
And he goes chasing after Jack. And Jack is...
carrying this human-sized gold harp.
So yeah, so the human size is the front part of the harp. And then you have the rest of the harp. Now, yes,
so
the weight...
weighs like 350 to 400 pounds.
Probably.
At least.
But, you know, the weight is gonna be up there where the lady sculpt is.
Yeah.
Sculpture part of it is. So, the rest of it is going to be semi-light, but it's still gold. Like, gold's heavy.
Yeah. The most amazing part of this story is how strong Jack is.
Right?
Especially since he can go up and down the
beanstalk. He does this flying fucking leap off the clouds to the beanstalk with this harp in one arm.
Okay, I couldn't climb down a ladder with a nail gun in my hand.
Dude, I could... That's fair.
Like, that, like, about throw my shoulder out of socket.
But... That's like, what, 3 steps of a ladder?
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, thousands of feet of climbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does it with one arm, probably, holding the fucking harp in the other arm.
And as soon as he gets down to the ground, he drops the harp, rushes to the cabin, and grabs his axe. This piddly axe.
It's like the next size up from a hatchet.
Yeah.
Like, if a hatchet fucked a big-sized axe, and they had a dwarf baby.
And he goes to town on this beanstalk. You know, this beanstalk that's probably a good...
It's as wide as a house.
500 feet wide, if not...
Well, I bet you it's not that much, but it's probably got a 10 foot to 15 foot diameter.
Okay. Really? I thought it'd be longer than that.
It's probably about as big as the it'd probably be about as big around as this room. Because if you look at him standing next to it.
Okay.
But here's my first question on that. Because even being that big, once he got to the top, it was very tiny. How did the giant ever make it onto the beanstalk in the first place without the whole thing, you know?
Yep, toppling over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Jack cuts down this beanstalk, and the giant's literally like, what, 15 feet off the ground when he cuts it up?
He's about ready to step on the ground.
Yeah.
And then...
he falls over onto the house.
Yeah. Like the crushing dirt. His wife and kid.
Yep. His and greed killed his family.
Yeah, yeah. And then we go back to the real world.
What have I done?
Jim is...
devastated.
Well, he's waking up. He's like, what the hell just happened?
This is the first time where we actually get a character that actually lives through the story itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
no. I don't know. Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Little Red Riding
Hood. Yeah. So. Yeah, so then Fella is... like, you've been given a second chance. Don't fuck it up.
The choice is yours. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jim...
walks away without the drugs.
Yeah, I think he does it... I think he does the right decision.
I agree.
Yeah.
He already had a bag full of money.
But the drugs are just sitting there. He could have just taken the drugs as well.
No. That's wrong, because then he was sold it and died.
Stealing illegal drugs is bad, kids.
Well, there's that too.
Pablo will get you.
And that's the end of the issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this grim fairy tale story.